Radio. This is the old In and Out, and I am Dr. William Schimmel, Bill Schimmel, and my co-host is Brian Dewan. Brian, how's everything?
Things are good.
That's fantastic. And we were interrupted a few minutes ago. Actually, we were talking a little bit, and my son went out the door for an orange soda. So I just wanted to make sure that he got his orange soda, and so I'm back again. And we had a brief conversation that you're sitting under the stars right now. I understand outdoors in the Catskill area. Yeah.
Night. It's a half moon out in a halo of haze, yellow haze surrounding the moon. And a very beautiful evening on the Memorial Day weekend. I heard about a VFW hall that was doing a drive for tattered and unusable flags.
Oh, really?
They're gathering them up, I think, for some sort of proper ceremonial retirement or something.
Uh-huh.
So that must have gone on yesterday, I think. And so now I get to sit outdoors here, and my friends have prepared a very nice little grilled burger meal and some baked beans and some little potatoes, corn on the cob, and some watermelon.
Oh, fantastic. I love good corn on the cob. Is it the yellow
corn,
is it the yellow corn or the white corn?
It's kind of both.
Yeah.
It's almost like when you see an old warehouse with those old metal casement windows and all the little panes that are different colors or different types, or some are frosted and some are clear and some are tinted.
Well, yeah. I also think about the buttons on the accordion when I see the corn on the cob. I think of bass buttons or the right-hand chromatic system.
Yeah.
I think of that when I see a nice ear of corn, especially in some of the multicolored ones.
Yeah.
You see around harvest time and so forth.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they give me an accordion. They give me an accordion vibe.
I know what you mean, and I'm thinking, too, of all the keyboard instruments that have certain notes, like all the G's and all the B's have a certain sort of marbledness or discoloration,
while the other
ones are white.
Yeah.
And you don't know whether they aged differently or whether they just made different batches in the factory and all the bees are different from the other ones.
Yeah, I love that.
And then it becomes this sort of a natural mosaic that was unplanned by humans.
And sort of following the path of natural evolution. Absolutely wonderful. Brian, you've been busy, I'm sure.
Well, yeah, I usually am, and I've been doing a lot of chores and filling of garbage bags. But
really?
I've also been doing, a week ago I did a gig with my cousin Leon. We did a Dewanatron performance together up in Montreal, and that was a lot of fun. We played with on a bill with the Caroline Glass Band. She's an oboist.
Ah.
And that was a lot of fun. And while we were up there, the student protests were going on. So at 1 o'clock in the morning, we heard all this racket outside in the street and just thought, you know, there were young people out partying. But as it turned out, there was people marching and protesting in the street. There were no cars. The streets were just filled with people. And people were blowing on these horns.
Yeah.
So you heard the sort of like the horn of Joshua flaring a lot of people chanting very vigorously and rhythmically in French.
So it's a kind of a wonderful city, isn't it?
It is. It's a really fascinating place. You know, one thing that I thought was really wonderful there was the place is called the Oratory, also known as the Shrine to Saint Joseph, which was the brainchild of Frère André, who was famous for faith healing and cures. He was an orator, and he would cure people, and this basilica that he had built is full of all these crutches that people had cast away. You're in this room, and there are crutches all over the
walls.
Is this... votive candles everywhere that are out of reach, and you can't see how people can actually light them or reach them, so they must have special, you know, 20-foot-long tapers or something to get to these candles.
Is this like Saint-Anne de Beaupré?
I don't know his whole proper name.
Yeah, is this part of the whole Saint-Anne de Beaupré shrine? I mean, that's what I'm saying. I know there's a shrine in Quebec. And they sometimes call it Lourdes West.
Well, maybe that's what it is.
Yeah, it could be, yeah. Uh-huh.
Because he was a faith healer and then there's a, you know, his crypt is there.
Yeah.
But also there's a whole section that's dedicated to his story. There are dioramas. Where you see him in effigy, a kind of a mannequin version of him dressed in clerical garb, and they have a sort of a historic period room reconstruction of his monastic room with this small metal hospital bed kind of thing, very Spartan.
Yeah.
And then there's a depiction of him in his clerical garb in an office that's full of all this wood paneling, and he's there with his amp, his little 1920s amplifier and microphone, that I think he would use to do orations later in his life, because I think he was born in the 1830s or 40s or something
right.
like that.
Uh-huh.
And so there's Frère André with his amp, and then there's the most astonishing part is it looks like a vault, like a bank vault, and then a piece of thick glass with this metal grill around it, and through this you see a kind of a metal chalice. And in this vague gray light, in the chalice, in this fluid, is Frère André's heart. And I think he ordered that his heart be removed from his body and put in this chalice. And you see Frère André's heart up in the Frère André section where he's depicted. And they have this chalice in the vault. So it's a very, you know, they have in front of it, there are these tall stairs. It's built into the side of the mountain. I mean, in a way, the whole place is sort of like a, you know, Dr. No headquarters, like the villain in a James Bond film would have a whole complex that was dug out of the side of the mountain, and you go into these elevators, and you see just the rough-hewn rock behind the elevators, and the building is built into the side of it, and, you know, it took many decades to build this building. So it's quite a remarkable place. And you see these stairs in front going up that are very steep, that there's a special section reserved for people who want to ascend on their knees.
On their knees, yes. Yes.
Yeah.
I've only seen pictures of. That's absolutely wonderful. Yeah.
And people use it. They do it. We saw people who were doing it, and they're not climbing it like you would walk stairs.
Yeah.
With your legs, they're just kneeling there, using the stairs as a kneeler, and I think, in a way, they're really using the stairs as a colossal rosary.
Yes.
They're kneeling and praying, and then when you're done with the prayer, then you ascend another step on your knees.
Yeah, my mother went up those steps.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, she took a pilgrimage there years and years ago with my grandmother, and apparently they went up the steps.
Wow.
And they were talking about it, and they brought back pictures of it. So I do remember seeing those those stairs. Yeah, yeah.
It's an astonishing place.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that sounds incredible. It sort of brings us to our topic, because I wanted to talk about the seminars coming up in July. July 27th, 28th, and 29th at Tenry Cultural Institute. And our topic is redemption, the radar off the radar. And we're going to be dealing with topics about, you know, redemption. You know, in the past, we've been always doing, well, it was sort of part of the whole accordion gestalt for a while. You know, that whole welcome to heaven, here's your harp, welcome to hell, here's your accordion, heaven and hell and all this kind of stuff. So I kind of felt that we did our share of that also, along with everybody else, you know, and I got a little tired of it already, and I thought it was time to look at the more redemptive side of things. And so Our title this year is going to be Redemption, and we're going to deal with a lot of those topics and pieces and compositions where the accordion can shine in that particular light. And I know for a fact that you have something prepared about St. Francis.
Yes, that is true. Well, there's a wonderful collection of stories and legends about St. Francis of Assisi called The Little Flowers of St. Francis, or the Fioretti. And they're such wonderful stories, and like a lot of folk tales, you really have a kind of view into the medieval world and a very different mind than a modern mind, because it's not really concerned with systematic things. But also, St. Francis is such a wild card, and all the familiar things about him are there. You know, he's so universally known, and, you know, there's the famous scene of him converting the wolf and his connection to animals and his joy. But he's very complicated. He's very bipolar and, of course, is just as enthusiastic about harsh penance as he is about boundless mercy. And he's very funny. The stories are often very humorous, and they meander in strange ways that are very free. And, of course, there are a lot of supernatural occurrences in many of the stories. But he's such a remarkable character, and it's so funny. You know, I think maybe a couple of hundred years after his death, one of the leaders of the Franciscan order decided, he decreed that all copies of these stories be destroyed in favor of a newer and more pious account of the saint's life, because I think they found it troubling that he was too human for, know, their idea of how things ought to be at that point in history. But enough people were horrified by this decree and did not destroy them, and we still have them. And they're very funny and very insightful, very wonderful stories. So,
I hear it. did I just hear a train go by?
Yeah, the train is going by. There's a train about a block from my house.
Fantastic. Sounds beautiful, by the way.
Yeah. It's a freight train. So, yeah, it's a very, very symphonic aspect of the neighborhood.
Yeah. And, well, it sounds wonderful. We're looking forward to hearing that. As a matter of fact, your St. Francis set will be the closing of the seminars. And you will be singing as well as playing the accordion, is that right?
No, I'll be playing
and chanting.
I'll be chanting and speaking. So it's a kind of storytelling with the spoken voice, with the singing voice, and the accordion chiming in and weaving into it.
Oh, that's absolutely lovely. We'll be looking forward to that. The seminars, again, will be July 27th, 28th, and 29th at the Tenery Cultural Institute. And the title will be Redemption, the Radar Off the Radar. And what do we mean by off the radar? I've been getting a lot of interpretations on it from various people. And when I did it, the thing that came to my mind was off-Broadway, where it seems to, one very wise director once told me, theater director said, you know, Bill, in the long run, no matter how big a movie star or a theater star gets, everyone wants to do off-Broadway, because that's where all the important groundwork gets laid. And I kind of thought our seminars were like that. We're like sort of like off-Broadway, where a lot of ideas generate, and then eventually get sent out. And so that means we were a little off the radar. You know, we're sort of the radar off the radar, much like off-Broadway. And so that was my interpretation. You know, I've been getting a lot of other interpretations from other people, which is fine. I think that's wonderful. But again, Redemption, the radar off the radar. And Brian also... you sent me a wonderful MP3, which we're going to also play on our radio show tonight. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, well, that's a song that I learned from a book called Darn Fool Ditties.
Yeah.
That was given to me by some good friends of mine. And the scores are interesting because they're all these illustrations interwoven into the staves of these stick figures romping around in these very efficient little cartoon images that are very whimsical, and people climbing all over the staves while you read the music to these songs, you know, many of which are sort of comic or whimsical songs.
Yes.
So this was a book that was published in the 1930s, although I think a bunch of the songs in it are older or even a good deal older than that, although everything is uncredited, so it's hard to know what the source of these songs are. But this is one song called The Hot Minced Pies That Auntie Used to Make.
Oh, it's hilarious. I love it. And we'll be hearing that. And then following that will be a piece that I put together on a new CD, which is actually an EP. And it's called Ten Remix. And it took place at the Tenry Cultural Institute at the seminars. And what it really is me on 12 bass accordion performing with Yoshi Fukui on sho, the Japanese sho, which is a free reed instrument, a Japanese instrument, and Mamiya Kato on violin. And what we're doing is we're combining we're combining a lot of things, and we're combining the piece we're going to be hearing, of course, is going to be called Gaga Tchaikovsky Ku, and which is basically combining Gaga Ku, Japanese ceremonial music, with Tchaikovsky. And in this particular case, the Tchaikovsky Violin Concerto. And now, to complicate matters, that was done in performance, and then in post-production, I became a DJ producer, which I call what do I call myself? Let me check. I have to actually check the album. I have a new name here that I'm calling myself, and yes, that's DJ B. Shive. And what I did is I remixed it. And I remixed it with hip-hop beats and dubstep beats. And to give it a dance house kind of ambiance. And so that's what we're going to be hearing. And it's from a CD called Ten Remix, which is actually a 23-minute EP. And you can actually, if you want to order a copy, you can simply go to my website, BillSchimmel.com, and order a copy. You can use PayPal. And, again, it's me on 12 bass accordion, a little accordion, and Yoshi Fukui on sho, and Mamiya Kato on violin. The other pieces that what we'll be hearing, of course, tonight will be Gaga Tchaikovsky Ku. And then the second piece on the CD, if you order it, will be Gaga Mendelssohn Salsans Ku, which combines the Mendelssohn Violin Concerto with the Salsans Concerto No. 3, again, with hip-hop beats and dubstep beats. Then finally, the third one, Tenry Blues, which is really a blues. And so please order your copy, but you'll get a preview of it tonight. You'll hear the first piece on that. And again, that was taken from a performance at the Tenry Cultural Institute, then remixed by my alter ego, DJ B. Shive, and where I added the dubstep and hip hop beats, and remixed it. And just to bring you up to date on some of the performances that will be coming up, I will be at the Cape May Music Festival on June 12th as a guest artist. And then starting on June 14th, I'll be doing a small run of The Most Happy Fellow with the DiCapo Opera Company. And that's actually here in my neighborhood on East 76th Street. It's kind of nice. I can actually walk to the theater at nights. And then, of course, the up-and-coming seminars on July 27th, 28th, 29th at the Tenere Cultural Institute. And again, our title is Redemption, the Radar Off the Radar. And there are going to be more radio shows that Brian and I will be doing, and we'll be talking even more great, you know, more in great detail about what will be going on at the seminars and who else will be on, as well as myself and Brian, of course. But right now we're going to bring the show to a close. And Brian, I know you have guests to get back to and some food waiting for you to eat. And I'm going to be checking to see how my son's doing with his soda. And,
yeah.
So I'm going to say goodnight, Brian. And it was wonderful tuning in with you again.
Yes, it is always a pleasure.
And I will be talking soon. And so thank you once again for tuning in to WS Accordion, the old in and out. I'm Dr. William Schimmel, Bill Schimmel. And good night, Brian.
Good night, and we'll see you next time.
Pleasure. Good night, Brian.
Bye-bye.
Auntie was a wonder at making hot minced pies, and things that you would find in them were sure a big surprise. We missed things round the cabin. We didn't know who grabbed 'em. Why Grandpa lost his brand new shiny ray. But believe me when I say, he found his brand new rake one day in the hot minced pies that Auntie used to make. Auntie was a wonder at making hot minced pies, and things that you would find in them were sure a big surprise. One day my great big sister lost a French heel from her slipper. She swore the one who took it was Big J. But one sunny day in May, they found her French heel, so they say, in the hot minced pies that Auntie used to make. Auntie was a wonder at making hot minced pies, and things that you would find in them were sure a big surprise. We missed our horsehair sofa. Pa said he heard a loafer had dumped our horsehair sofa in the lake. But I'm very glad to say they found our sofa the next day in the hot mince pies that Auntie used to make.